politics without the soap opera, with unfiltered constitutional conservative truth. The Conservative Review with Daniel Horowitz.
And welcome back, fellow American patriots and Minutemen standing at the ready to fight anew for the issues that matter in the way they matter, at the time they matter. And boy, does it matter this brand new week, April 15th. It is tax day. It's Communism Day, Confiscation Day. It's the day in the calendar where people who actually paid a ton in taxes don't realize it, and people who make money off the tax code think they paid it because of the stupid withholdings. Single-handedly, if we got rid of that, people would know there would be clarity. And in fact, millions of people would probably refuse to pay taxes, because why pay taxes to a government that poisons its own people, to a government that works with cartels to invade its own sovereignty and then allies with Iran and Hamas to destroy Israel? That is the government we have today. It's truly shocking. This is the country we grew up in, but we already knew that. The question is, what are we going to do about it? We have this robust opposition party industry, big figure leading it, Donald J. Trump. Where are they in combating it? Well, we have a lot to say on that. In fact, in many respects, from the minutes we closed the show on Friday, right after, until now, less, 48 hours of the news cycle, 2.5 days worth, embodies the time we live in, where Republicans, including their top leader, screw us beyond belief, needlessly scoring points for the other side while complaining about the other side. But then you have some sort of spectacular story in the news that then, everyone forgets about it, hence the war, Iran basically declaring war on Israel. And then this week, the trial in Manhattan for Trump, that's going to now make everyone on our side, rightfully, understandably, be sympathetic to him and focus on that, all the while missing the fact that you're defending a man who's subverting us policy-wise, and if you spend all of your energy just licking his boots rather than pressuring him to the right, he's going to continue to rapidly move to the left. So this and more, a lot to unpack today. We'll start with FISA, what went down on Friday until now, Trump's press conference with Johnson just totally screwing us on more issues than words spoken in that press conference, what this means broadly for the focus of the average conservative voter, and then if we have time, we'll start with a little bit of an analysis on Israel and Iran and how that plays into the supplemental bill that Johnson wants to push and what we shouldn't be doing. We'll do more of that tomorrow with Lee Smith, our expert on the issue. But first, we are back with Jace Medical today. Jace Medical was one of the organizations we had helping us during COVID to be able to get vital medications that either are not in supply, because as of March, according to the FDA, there are 200 drug shortages in this country, a lot of vital cholesterol drugs, heart drugs, which a lot of people need now, of course. And they're back with their Jace case of 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use to have on hand. It is something now more than ever you need. But when you go to jacemedical.com and enter promo code REVIEW, as in conservative review, at checkout for your discount, you could also, they have tons of add-ons now. So in addition to the 5 antibiotics like azithromycin, amoxicillin, they also have add-ons for people who need EpiPens or ivermectin. And I don't have time to get into it today, but we'll cover it one day this week. There actually is a lot of news on ivermectin. We now have a lot of insight into how the FDA and the medical cartel worked to create fake studies trying to show it doesn't work. So a lot more information on that. But anyway, you can get it by, you go to jacemedical.com, you fill out an online survey, that you just have to make sure that there's no contraindications. They're going to ask you your allergies, your healthcare history, and then you could, put in an order and you will have it on hand for when you need it. Promo code REVIEW for a discount. That's promo code REVIEW at jacemedical.com. So folks, I really hate to do a See, I Told You So show, but here we are. Everything I warned you about, I said, Mike Johnson could only screw us on every single leverage point. Meaning, imagine if you had a quarterback get into a game and every single pass is not just an incompletion, not just squandering first and goal, you know, at the 1 yard line, but also every toss is an interception. There's no way that's not done on purpose. And I want you guys to understand, as bad as John Boehner was, they were up in the 2011 to 2015 era against a much more popular Democrat president, much more articulate Democrat president. We didn't have as bad as it felt at the time, as many existential crises in terms of invasion and inflation in particular and the world on fire. And yet Republicans did manage to sometimes use their leverage with only control of the House. They passed the Budget Control Act. Here, not only did they give Biden everything he wanted on the budget bills, on the debt ceiling, on the defense authorization bill, and several other standalone bills, by the way. But now, they're needlessly passing things that Democrats want that don't have to be passed. Remember, okay, I don't have control to change the law in a Democrat Senate, Democrat White House with a veto pen, but if they want a bill passed, even a narrow Republican majority should not pass it, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to pass it. There's no need to. Not only did they reauthorize FISA, but they made it more expensive. So not only didn't we get the meaningful reforms we needed, you know, we had Warren Davidson on the show on Friday just before the vote. It was worse than we ever thought. And again, like I warned you, that one sentence tweet from Trump last week, oh, I don't want to reauthorize FISA. It was a fake, you know, failure theater in the background. He gave him full support and then he articulated it publicly. We'll play the clip when he had him down there. And you know, it's as if nothing happened. It's as if the vote in FISA didn't happen. It's as if Trump's press conference didn't happen. Trump's radical move to the left criticizing Arizona on abortion didn't happen. Nothing matters. I mean, the things that matter most are what? The things within the sphere of influence, of dominion, of pressure, control of conservative media. What is that? Policies and statements and issue positions over which prominent Republican and Republican-controlled offices and legislative bodies control. And that is precisely where there is zero focus or pressure. I'm the only one doing it. Again, who are you going to pressure more? Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, or Donald Trump? Well, A, Donald Trump is 100 times more relevant to pressure because he is the, by far, you know, the most influential person within the party. He, whether you like it or not, reflects the values of anyone on the right to the average voter, whether you agree with that or not, or like it or not, that is the reality. He reflects the image of the Republican Party and controls the strategic direction of the Republican Party more than any Republican since Abraham Lincoln. And he is, even I'm impressed. I mean, he is rapidly, rapidly moving to the left. And there's no backstop. And I thought, okay, after last week, people are going to say, hey, Trump, you're losing the plot. No, because perfect timing. This week we have the trial. It's great. So now it's going to be all about defending him. But I want you guys to understand this. I want you guys to understand something. You cannot influence the outcome of the trial. The die is cast. You can influence Trump to take the proper positions, make the right endorsements, take the right, you know, legislative initiatives and pressure Johnson rather than giving him a refuge in Mar-a-Lago. support Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate rather than trashing it like he did on Friday. That's what you can influence. The trial, I mean, it is what it is. No amount of commentary is going to influence the outcome. By the way, the Democrats are so awesome in the way they operate. I mean, these guys don't miss anything. So New York is already a leftist bastion, which is why they picked those areas to go after him, to get a jury pool that will never give him a fair shake. So they did an interesting thing. So, I mean, New York is a majority non-white. New York City, that is. One of the only white demographics in New York that has a strong presence and is very pro-Trump are religious Jews, okay? Orthodox Jews, observant Jews, and they changed the trial from Wednesday to the weekend on the Jewish Sabbath so that they won't be part of the jury pool. I mean, these guys are really good. So again, you're not going to change what they're doing there. Now, look, if you ask my opinion, if you care about actually winning and about pardoning Trump, the best way to do that would not be to run the man himself as the candidate. Because A, you know, he's really not as electable. B, he's not nearly as conservative. And in fact, now he's moving to the left. And C, you know, all the money he raises is going to his legal defense. So you need someone who actually could put it into a ground game to match the left. But, you know, the stupid voices among my colleagues who are bankrupt and degenerate, they had different views. So now you got to own it. But there is no desire to pressure him. So what happened? The FISA 702 was reauthorized. Final passage was 273 to 147. 88 Republicans voted no. 59 Democrats voted no. And by the way, the Biden administration worked it very, very hard. In other words, you know, you could have, if Johnson would have been on the right side of this, a lot of them, they were really up to more like 90 Democrats who could have joined. And that's what's very important to recognize, that this was a unique circumstance where there was bipartisan support. Okay, if not for Johnson having the backing of Trump to do this, we could have easily done this. And let me go a little bit farther. This was final passage. But as we noted, there was an important amendment that was the big point of contention, which was that, okay, we'll reauthorize 702, but any information you get about an American citizen that's swept up in the surveillance program, in order to then search it and use it, you have to come back with a warrant. So that was the Andy Biggs amendment. The amendment failed by one vote. Talk about orchestrated, carefully planned failure theater. In fact, it was a tie, 212 to 212, but you know, a tie means it doesn't pass. You need to affirmatively pass something, so you need at least a one seat majority. 212 to 212. 84 Democrats supported the requirement for a warrant. 60% of the GOP voted for it. So how could this fail? Speaker Johnson was the tie vote. He went down to the well. Usually, generally, unless it's needed, the speaker doesn't vote. That's just kind of the tradition, unless he feels it's needed, like in this case for, you know, it's a tie vote. He was the tie vote. So I want you to understand, this is the big MAGA issue. The FBI is spying on us. They spied on the Trump campaign. And it's not just that he pushed reauthorization, but that we had a modest, simple reform that had support from 84 Democrats. So don't tell me, oh, it's like we don't have the support or we can't, there's a government shutdown. I mean, nothing like that. Needlessly taking the GOP majority, and Johnson himself was the final vote. And there was a little bit more chicanery too, because there were six Republicans left on the board that didn't vote. And I was told that a few of them were going to go down and support the Biggs Amendment, but they were, let's just say, convinced otherwise and stayed off. You mean to tell me if Trump wouldn't have said you better vote for the Biggs Amendment or I will primary you, that it wouldn't have put it over the top? See, sometimes it's like, you know, it's an overwhelming vote. Who knows how much the Trump effect would have made a difference? In this case, you can't deny it. Because A, it was one vote, and B, it was the man who flew on a plane literally after casting the vote. He was out of there, on his way to Reagan, flying down to Palm Beach. Was that a coincidence? It was all cover. And again, now we don't have to speculate. It wasn't like indirect. They directly talked about it, and Trump backed him, and we'll play that here in just coming up in a minute. But then after defeating the Biggs Amendment, they voted on three more bad amendments that expanded it to drugs, Wi-Fi, and immigrants. Now, immigrants, you might think, well, okay, they're not citizens, so maybe it's a good idea because we have all these Muslims in the country that it ain't going to be used against that, okay? An administration where the very people who will be in charge of the program are run by Iranian spies, they're not exactly going to be using it for counterterrorism. And you understand what drugs mean? It could mean, like, you could get pinged, you could have a guy that's a reporter talking about fentanyl a lot, and your communications could get, like, you're a reporter railing against the fentanyl trafficking, and that could get potentially roped in to the surveillance program. So imagine that. They let in the cartels, let in their traffickers, let in millions of them. They're like, hey, we got a drug problem. We need a 702 surveillance. This is how disgusting Johnson is. So he made it worse and then voted for final passage, which includes all this. So imagine having leverage where there's universal support from Trump. Well, or we thought that this cannot be done. And then you come and give the Biden administration everything they wanted, plus new authorities. And by the way, there's a provision in there that looks like it could be used against FBI whistleblowers because it's about revealing information. They do it under the guise of saying, oh, well, you know, if an FBI abuses an American's private data, but the way it's written, it's actually really more targeting FBI whistleblowers, like people like Steve Friend. And here we go. Here we go. So Johnson goes and flies over to Mar-a-Lago for a chase the squirrel. Oh, don't worry about the must-pass bill leverage that we have, that not only are we getting nothing for it, but we're actually giving the Democrats even more than what they asked for. But that's not anything to worry about. We're going to have a standalone bill to make non-citizen voting illegal when it's already illegal. I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm sorry. No one else is going to do today's show, so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to go through what Trump said. First, our other sponsor today is our friends at Patriot Mobile. They've been partners with the Blaze for 10 years as America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Really the only American provider, meaning that they share our values. They don't spy on us. They don't work with the Chinese. You go to patriotmobile.com/CR or call 972-PATRIOT. You will actually get an American English speaker for once on the phone and give them offer code CR to get free activation. You could keep your phone, keep your phone number, but lose the woke values because Patriot Mobile uses their profits to fund sanctity of life causes, legal defense for Second Amendment, and religious freedom. And by the way, if you are a veteran or a, you know, emergency worker, first responder, police officer, certainly police firefighter, let them know and they will give you a special discount again by going to patriotmobile.com/CR, 972-PATRIOT on the phone, and offer code CR. Join me today making the switch. So goes down to Mar-a-Lago, and literally there were more liberal positions taken by Trump than words spoken. Okay? Trump demanded immediate action from the Arizona legislature. It's still run by Republicans. This is a Democrat governor. Now you might think immediate action to ban illegal immigration, immediate action to interpose against the FBI, immediate action to get rid of all trainism in, you know, University of Arizona system. No, no, no. Immediate action to loosen their abortion laws. So it's not just, okay, we're not going to focus on it so much. We're not going to push so strong. We're going to actively go to undo anti-abortion laws. He then rebukes Marjorie Taylor Greene for the motion to vacate, says that Johnson is doing the best job possible, supports, says he doesn't like FISA 702, but supports what they just did. Not even like, you know, inferring or implying it, but he explicitly said it. Offers support for Obamacare, which he calls the ACA, which was random, and then affirms his support for a lend-lease program to Ukraine. I mean, what do you guys want me to do? Should I shut up? Should I not say anything about that? Should I just ignore this? Again, if Mitch McConnell would get up there and he does say this stuff, we'd be all over it. But who is more relevant? For whom is it more dangerous to take a liberal position on an issue? The man who reflects our image and has full control over the party. Also, the man who is more amenable to conservative pressure. You know, we could debate how much, but, you know, certainly Trump is more likely to move to the right if we would say cut the crap out than Mitch McConnell would. So let's never forget that everything that Johnson does is with the support of Trump. First clip, let's play clip number one here. A reporter asks Trump at the press conference. He's standing there with Johnson on Friday afternoon, Mar-a-Lago at his side. Here is what Trump had to say about the FISA vote that just took place.
Please. Which one? Well, I'm not a big fan of FISA. I looked at it and I studied it and I know it probably better than anybody. You know, they spied on my campaign. You do know that, right? And they did lots of other bad things. I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I told everybody, I said, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances on, and I guess it's down to 2 years now so that it would come due in the early part of my administration on the basis that we live up to the polls, because all the polls, we just had another one come out. We're leading by a lot, but it comes out quickly. I said, you do what you want, but I'm not a big fan of FISA. I think it's terrible.
Okay, so folks, I told them to do what you want. So he says, well, in theory, I oppose it. This is classic Trump, and I'm telling you, we live this every day of his presidency, and if he were to get reelected, by the way, there's a lot of polling data on that, increasingly less likely, we will deal with it again. And we will deal with it until, both privately and publicly, we issue a little bit of a get off our lawn vibe to Trump, where he broadly rails against something, but then when we would have the specific leverage, this happened for 4 years. You could go back into our show archives. We talked about it all the time. He would actually be on the other side. He's like, yeah, I told them, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances. I mean, literally. See, basically, this is the game. It's the typical GOP thing. Within those 40 seconds of Trump is ensconced the same GOP crap that we've been dealing with forever, for which it spawned the Trump movement to begin with, that Trump has now come full circle Orwellian fashion and does the Bush, Dole, Romney, McCain better than they did. It's all a matter of, we don't have enough power. Well, wait until we get more power, then when I'm president, I'll deal with it. Well, there's some good reforms. Well, it's not true. This is the type of thing if you didn't have control. They had the Biggs Amendment. They were one vote away, and it was the guy that you're giving cover to and defending right there, having this press conference for the express purpose of quelling the motion to vacate. That was the entire purpose. Why do you think they planned that for the second afterwards? This was one vote away. Trump was the decisive factor in ensuring this didn't happen. It's unreal. Are my ears supposed to unhear that? Are my eyes supposed to unsee that press conference? I don't get it. And then we had another clip. He's asked about Johnson, motion to vacate, what he thinks about Johnson. Take a listen right here.
Vacate, or do you stand behind Speaker Johnson?
We're getting along very well with the Speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a Speaker. He was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think very... it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing about as good as you're going to do. And I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine. And I know she has a lot of respect for the speaker.
And would you support a Ukrainian aid bill if the speaker was to move forward with it?
We're looking at it right now, and they're talking about it. And we're thinking about making it in the form of a loan instead of just a gift. We keep handing out gifts of billions and billions of dollars, and we'll take a look at it. But much more importantly to me is the fact that Europe has to step up and they have to give money. They have to equalize. If they don't equalize, I'm very upset about it because they're affected much more than we are. The Ukraine situation would have never happened if I was president. Would have never, ever happened. And everybody says that, including Democrats, that it happened is such an outrage. People, millions of people are dead right now, both sides. Millions of people are dead. Cities are blown to ashes. You'll never rebuild those cities. That's certainly not like they were, so beautiful. And this is something should have never happened. October 7th should have never happened in Israel. Should have never happened. What happened there was outrageous. Iran was broke when I was president. People weren't buying oil from Iran. They weren't allowed to. If they were going to buy oil from Iran, then they weren't going to do any business in the U.S. And I said it to China. I said it to everybody. They weren't doing business. They were broke. They didn't have money for Hamas. They didn't have money for Hezbollah. It would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. It did happen. And now it's a disaster. And it's only getting worse. So it's very sad. No, I stand with the speaker. We've had a very good relationship.
Mr. President, while you were in office, you said that you would sign a federal abortion ban and Congress sent it to your desk. Why should Americans trust your word that you would not do it now if you were reelected?
Because we don't need it any longer, because we broke Roe v. Wade, and we did something that nobody thought was possible. We gave it back to the states, and the states are working very brilliantly, in some cases conservative, in some cases not conservative, but they're working, and it's working the way it's supposed to. Every legal scholar, real legal scholar, wanted to have it go back to the states, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. And we're able to do that. You know, what we did was give it back to the states. And now the states are working their way through it. And you're having some very, very beautiful harmony, to be honest with you. You have some cases like Arizona that went back to like 1864 or something like that. And a judge made a ruling. But that's going to be changed by government. They're going to be changing that. I disagree with that. Excuse me, please.
Just a follow-up. Over the last few decades, Mr. President, you have both considered yourself pro-choice and pro-life. Which one is it?
Well, you know exactly which one it is. And when I was in New York and when I was a Democrat also, just like Ronald Reagan, you know, Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. We sort of followed a very similar path. But if you look at what we've done with Roe v. Wade, we did something that everyone said couldn't be done, and we got it done. And I give great credit to the Supreme Court and the justices for having the courage to do it. What they did is very simply give it back to the state. And I'll tell you, the Democrats are the radicals on this, because they're willing to have abortions in the 7th, 8th, 9th month. They're even willing, and you can call it what you want, but you go back to the governor of Virginia, the previous governor of Virginia, the Democrat governor of Virginia, where he talked about execution of a baby after birth. And you can say what you want, but that's extreme and that's radical, and nobody should have that, and it has to be ended. Please, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, do you think the motion to vacate rules should be finally changed, or do you think that it's just creating chaos right now?
Well, it's unfortunate that people bring it up, because right now we have much bigger problems. The country is we're a nation in decline. We're a declining nation. We have tremendous inflation. The inflation's coming back at levels that nobody thought they really would have. If you look at the categories of inflation, they have the worst categories. Many categories are not included. And if you included that, your inflation number would be substantially higher than it is now. And it's already at records. So inflation is back, and a lot of bad things are happening in our country. But that's the least of it. You've got Russia could end up in, you could end up in a world war between Russia, Ukraine, and all of the chaos. And that's something should have never happened. It would have never happened. What's going on with Israel, October 7th, and what's going on with Israel could end up in a world war. We have a president that can't put two sentences together. We have a president that can't find the stairs off a stage. We have a president that doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And we could end up in a world war. You know, we have just a little bit less than 7 months now, months before November 5th. But that's an eternity when people are incompetent. Go ahead, please.
Do you support the House's FISA bill that was passed this morning?
Which one?
The FISA bill. And did you talk to anyone?
Well, I'm not a big fan of FISA. I looked at it and I studied it and I know it probably better than anybody. You know, they spied on my campaign. You do know that, right? And they did lots of other bad things. I'm not a big fan of FISA, but I told everybody, I said, do what you want. They put a lot of checks and balances on, and I guess it's down to 2 years now, so that it would come due in the early part of my administration on the basis that we live up to the polls, because all the polls, we just had another one come out, we're leading.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there in that minute. Johnson's doing a good job, as good of a job as can be. That is demonstrably false, because this is not this whole thing of a narrow majority is false, because they were doing it before, you know, these several Republicans resigned, and they didn't have, I mean, it was a narrow majority, but it wasn't like this. That's number one. Number two is that's an argument for not actively being able to change new laws, but he's gratuitously giving the left new things. And then that ties into his next thing. Out of nowhere, Trump just like agrees to Ukraine. Like, that's a classic example. Let's say you have a one-seat majority, okay? Only one-seat majority. But you control the floor. You don't have to bring a new Ukraine bill to the floor. Oh, a gift, a gift. Not a gift, but a loan. But then remember, he said in South Carolina, it doesn't have to be paid back, which of course it won't anyway. They don't have the money. Europe has to step up. Yeah, but that's not what Europe has to step up. Ukraine's a grift. We shouldn't be doing it regardless. This is what I mean. He fully supports him. He was asked about the motion to vacate. He rebuked Marjorie Taylor Greene. So if you, in case you guys were wondering, how is Johnson is basically doing a ground and pound to the Freedom Caucus, just beating the hell out of them on every issue, like 100 times more than McCarthy. How? What's the purpose of a one-person motion to vacate if you never use it? The reason they're not using it is because they can't. He has Trump support. Now, I would argue, I'm not defending it. I would argue they still should use it. But I'm just telling you, this is where Trump is the biggest asset for the establishment. What do you want me to tell you? And then we'll play one more clip. This is actually not from the press conference. It's from a video he randomly put out on the same day, but I believe he did actually reiterate this at the press conference. Take a listen. We'll just play the full video on the ACA here. Take a listen.
I'm not running to terminate the ACA, as Crooked Joe Biden says all over the place. I'm running to close the border, stop inflation, make our economy great, strengthen our military, and make the ACA, or Obamacare, as it's sometimes known, much better, stronger, and far less expensive, because it's much too expensive now, and it's not very good. We're going to make it much better, much stronger. In other words, make the ACA much, much better and far less money cost to the people. We don't want people paying the kind of numbers that they're being forced to pay. It's ridiculous. To our great American citizens who have been decimated by Biden,
his record, his inflation, his bad economy, Afghanistan, catastrophe, and just about everything else. We're going to make the ACA much better than it is right now and much less expensive for you. Crooked Joe Biden is by far the worst president in the history of the United States. You're going to go to the best president in the history of the United States, me.
Okay, so I'm not running to end the ACA. That's a lie. Like, whoa! Imagine saying, like, this reminds me of during the campaign when he tried to run to the left of Biden and said, Biden was the one who had the 94 crime bill. Okay, what, that's a bad thing? Wait, so they're accusing me of trying to get rid of the ACA. So now notice he calls it the ACA when nobody, so, because he wants to defend it and say, I'm going to make it better. And then he has a whole word salad of just repeating inflation is really bad. Inflation, inflation. I'm running to make it better. I don't care about Obamacare. I'm not going to repeal that. I'm just running on inflation. Dude, inflation is healthcare. Healthcare is inflation. Inflation is the most, healthcare is the most expensive thing around. It is the largest share of our economy. It is the most destructive part of our economy. And you cannot forge a path to downward pressure unless you repeal it. But he doesn't know, and this was the problem we had when he was president. He doesn't know what Obamacare is. The Medicaid expansion is the massive debt creating inflation and destroying healthcare mechanically. Okay? The coverage mandates that you know, in his progressive populist mind, Trump backs is what makes it actuarially insolvent. That's why, meaning you can't have it both ways. You can't say you can only offer insurance plans that cover this, 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 have guaranteed issue community rating where you don't charge more based on risk. So then you're done. I mean, that was the core of Obamacare. That's why there's no such thing as a cheaper, slimmed down plan that you could, you know, opt to pay out of pocket, but then have catastrophic coverage for cheaper. Now, catastrophic coverage costs more than Cadillac plan coverage did pre-Obamacare, but there's a reason for that. I mean, you can't be stupid and be a leader if you don't know the issues. I mean, I know Trump just said that in that other clip there that he knows more about the FISA than anyone else. He read the bill. No, he didn't. I mean, ask yourself this question. Why in the world is Trump randomly, this is like the fifth time I've seen this, talking about Obamacare. Nobody's even talking about it. Why is he promoting it? Why is he randomly supporting Ukraine? Why is he making so many random, like horrible endorsements? Why is he backing down even on the issues that you know are in his wheelhouse, like FISA? Like, let me give you an example of how Trump is ruining our leverage. Not to get too into procedure, but there's a long story. There actually is one more vote to technically fully consummate passage of FISA 702 out of the House, and that's taking place today. It has to do, normally you have a motion to recommit where the minority, the losing side, gets to have a motion against the thing. So this is a vote on tabling the motion to recommit. So technically, imagine this. Imagine you have the Biggs Amendment lose by one vote by the man standing next to you on stage. You're there on Friday. There's a vote, one of your big allies from Florida. You know, Congresswoman Luna has this motion, and you could say, I'm going to primary any Republican who doesn't vote for it. It's not even spilt milk. He actually still had that opportunity. He won't do it, just like he refused to touch the budget bill. Look, we all know his ego on the vaccine. He's not going to change that. Although, again, If he would have gotten more tough love, I think that would have changed. We all know the log cabins, the Bud Light stuff, abortion. Look, let's face it, he's a social liberal. He certainly doesn't care to fight for our issues. But Ukraine? And Obamacare, I can understand. He's a fiscal liberal too, but I can understand Obamacare. But why bring it up? In other words, what's the compelling reason? You put it all together, and I'm sorry to say, you know, my only supposition here is that he is compromised. That in Orwellian fashion, the man who burst on the scene with the promise, this is one of his arguments that resonated most with the base, was, I am wealthy, I don't need to be bought off. Everyone's bought off. You can't buy me off because I have money. He is so desperate for cash now because of his legal problems that he's taking these views. So again, I don't understand why donors care about Ukraine, but for some reason they do. I don't know the whole nexus there, but clearly we have proof the Republican donors are obsessed with Ukraine. We know this because originally some of these big donors were willing to back DeSantis because they hated Trump. They felt he was a liability. He wasn't going to get elected. They thought DeSantis was too conservative, but they figured, look, he won big in Florida. I want to win. But they all bolted from DeSantis and went to Nikki precisely when he came out opposing aid to Ukraine. So the fact that Trump, because I know Trump doesn't support it. He's bad on a lot of issues. Trump doesn't suddenly think it's a good idea to aid Ukraine intellectually. I really don't think that. And that should scare you. And this is all a long way of saying that if we don't go ahead and have these Freedom Caucus guys that have ties to Trump privately meet with him and read him the Riot Act, it's not any one issue. You're moving to the left on everything. Cut it out. And some of it's going to need to be conservative media doing it publicly. If you don't do it, it will never change. Now, he is less likely to then get elected. And frankly, if he were to get elected, we're going to suffer the same problems. Because what's the problem? We could never cleanly make the case against Trump from the right, or at least pressure him from the right, because everyone is so busy defending him. And I understand that. The problem that we had, and the problem that will continue, is that every second Trump stabs us in the back, there's always a chase the squirrel moment. Oh, well, now we have to rally around him because of the Manhattan, you know, trial. Wait a minute. I mean, what are we even fighting for if he's going to take the position of our enemies and make the swamp great again, make the establishment great again at every vulnerable opportunity? It's like every time, you know, like in a wrestling maneuver, you got the guy on the ground, got him on the ropes, and then someone just comes in, sometimes I'll have a guy come in the ring, a third fighter just comes in and you know, counterattacks, so it saves the guy who was about to lose. That's what he is. He's become a defeat mechanism. It's got to stop. But I'm just telling you, I want you guys to project out, let's say Trump would win. Let's say in the crazy event that he would win. The left, you can't imagine what they're going to do. You cannot imagine. They're not just going to sit back and take it. So we're going to have to be 100% preoccupied with defending him. But the left. But meanwhile, the policies that are bad will continue, and he's going to join with them. And no one will want to pressure him. Go, well, Daniel, we gotta do it. You know what I'm saying? It's not, if this were just a thing, okay, just like a month before the general election, that you kind of have to lay low and take the anal sodomy from the Republican nominee would be one thing. But it's 7 months before, it was last year, it was during the primary, it was always, and it was during his presidency, and it will certainly be during a second term. When is this going to end? The answer is, it won't. Put yourself in Trump's shoes. The media wants something, and he's very sensitive to the media. He's very sensitive to the corporatists. At the end of the day, he's a businessman. He's very pragmatic. In many ways, Trump is no different than a typical Fortune 500 company. Most business entities are not inherently woke. Increasingly more are. But you got your Ben and Jerry's, you got your legacy leftist companies. Most aren't inherently that way. It's just that they know where the gravitational pull is. They know that you can never go too far to the left because no one's going to cut your head off. Whereas from the right, if you go too far to the right, the left will destroy you. It is a very logical, pragmatic choice. By the way, that's what is so spectacular about what DeSantis did with Disney. And it's paying dividends now. We see it every day that the companies in Florida are sort of backing off. They're like, oh, wow, no. Now there's a equal and opposing force, even stronger force on the right. In Florida, this is where it's at. We pointed this out all the time when the CDC came out with the vaccines for the children. And the Florida Department of Health recommended against them. Publix chose to side with Florida against CDC and did not administer them to children. But anyway, that's what Trump is sort of like a company. All the pressures and incentives for money, donors, is all moving to the left. We are our best advocates. We are our only advocates. So if we don't say, Trump, this is unacceptable, and call him out on this, you're going to get more, the beatings will continue. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. People are so distracted. You know, whenever I speak to friends of mine that are just kind of normie conservative voters that don't do this professionally, but, you know, they watch Fox News, some might even read the Epic Times a little bit and some of the publications and certainly watch Newsmax. And you look at what's at the tip of their tongue. And I tell them about this stuff, and their eyes open up wide. Like, wow, Daniel, I didn't know that. I didn't know Trump said this. I didn't know he was doing this. It's just not given over to people. All they know is the typical top lines. Trump's for sure going to win. The bros be flipping. Everyone knows from that. Trump, really, Daniel? I thought he was going to win the black vote. Really? I thought, you really think he's not going to win? I'm scared now. I don't know what to do. I hear this from countless people. I'm like, what are you talking about? By the way, there's an amazing poll out. Maybe we'll get to this another time. It has Biden up 12 points among independents who voted in the last three elections. So Trump has the most support from the people from the independents who vote the least often. So what's interesting is, and they divide it by race. And if you look among blacks, you know, Democrats roughly are getting the same margin within the margin of error of what they typically get. The one exception is among, they have four cohorts. You voted in zero of the elections, one, two, or three of the last three. Among the cohort of black voters who voted in zero of the elections, Trump actually has 35%. So, again, I mean, you ain't winning with that. And I think that's also another data point behind the fact why it seems like reversing what was a two-decade-long trend where Republicans typically overperform the polls, now Democrats are overperforming the polls. That's one reason. Because, you know, for many election cycles, the RVs, registered voters, any registered voter poll was more advantageous to Dems than a likely voter poll. And likely voter is what matters, who turns out. Now it's flipped. But it's like they're all in a trance that here's the three things. Trump's for sure going to win. Trump's being persecuted. The bros be flipping. And also elections are stolen. The elections are stolen. That's another thing I hear everywhere. It's like, so when I talk about how we're going to lose, they're like, oh man, yeah, you're right. You mean like it's going to be stolen. I'm like, well, okay, we have problems, but you're missing the point. the stealing of an election doesn't account for 10 basis points. I do believe, and I've written about this for 15 years. It's in my first book, Stolen Sovereignty. There are non-citizens voting. It's not worth 10 basis points. Some very close house races and some elections, it does make a difference. We have definitely lost seats and elections due to illegal voting and non-citizen voting. No question about it. But, you know, when you lose by a number of points, that's not what did it. Or if you, or if it's a very close election, you should be winning by a greater margin than the cheating factor, which has a limit. If you actually were on message and had less baggage and were a more disciplined, organized candidate. But, I mean, this has become a binky, a pacifier, a security blanket. Everything is, it's never introspection that, no, we Trump's kind of a problem. The Republican Party's kind of a problem. We don't have a message. We're not utilizing news cycles to harness messages on key issues. We're not harnessing key legislative strategic points. We're not utilizing down the ballot primaries. We're not focusing enough on red state politics and red state legislatures and the governors. It's a lot harder to do that. It's a lot easier to just say, it's all about, oh my gosh, just November, Trump, that's, oh my gosh, you mean it's stolen. Oh, so that's, the reason why that's the only issue they care about is because it cuts to the core of the security blanket. They want to know that I could just come up every other year, first Tuesday after the first Monday in November and vote Republican and everything will be fine. But let me tell you something. There is voter fraud. But a greater manifestation of voter fraud is Trump's Mar-a-Lago press conference on Friday. That is voter fraud. When millions of Americans, patriotic Americans, are in so much pain and they're so desperate because we don't have leadership, so they need to project it where it doesn't exist, and they so naively but purely believe in Trump. And I feel for these people. And he turns around and pisses on them. On every damn issue. That, my friends, is voter fraud. And that's what we need to take care of. Utterly ridiculous. And by the way, speaking of election fraud, there's something I want to share with you that, again, also ties into this lack of conservative focus. Ironically, even when we focus on election fraud, we're not focusing where we have the leverage. So, you know, Republicans now, after screwing us, they're going to vote on, oh, a bill to basically, you know, say non-citizens can't vote. But again, that's current law. But nonetheless, we know there are loopholes where they obtain these IDs and they come in and they vote because we don't have ironclad proof of citizenship verification in a lot of states. It's not ironclad. And if someone really wants to vote, a lot of times they can. And we absolutely do have numbers on that. We've talked about that years ago. Again, it's not measured in large numbers, but it does happen. And we all know, you know, some local races are decided by 5 votes. So it certainly is something you want to deal with. But that has to do with the modality of verification. And at the end of the day, that really needs to be dealt with in the states. And as you well know, in the states, Republicans have power in half the states where they actually could pass something through all 3 branches. So that's where the focus needs to be. And with that, I just wanted to mention in Wyoming, Chuck Gray, who hopefully he's the Secretary of State, hopefully he will be the next governor. So he put out a regulation to actually make sure that there is verification of citizenship within the process of voting in Wyoming. Wyoming, like almost every red state, has a photo ID. But the problem is photo ID just vets out like fraudulent voters, double voting, dead voters, that type of thing. But you could totally, let's say you're not a non-citizen, you could have an ID of some sort, you know, especially if you're illegal, I mean, even illegal, but especially a legal immigrant, you totally could have a driver's license, you could have anything, as you should, but you could come in and vote, you know, and I'm John Doe, non-citizen, legal immigrant, here's my driver's license. So it tightens up verification there. The Wyoming governor Mark Gordon, progressive, he vetoes it. He has veto authority of regulatory initiatives posited by other cabinet members. That's what he can do, even if they're not, even if they're separate elected offices. It's like one of the only states where a governor could do that. So, and this is not the first time he vetoed Chuck's ESG stuff. So this is what we have in our plus 40 states because we have slept through the primaries for years. Because we focus on what Fox News tells us to focus on. By the way, speaking of Wyoming, same state, it turns out the Freedom Caucus there just exposed that the Department of Health is funding a drag show. So, again, these are the sorts of things that we could focus our ire on. Imagine if every conservative talk radio show would focus on Mark Gordon, a small, low-level, not well-known small state governor. You could totally influence him. And certainly Trump, but we don't do it. We don't do it. But getting back to just where we started, just for the closing minutes here, I just want to give a brief thought as an introduction to tomorrow's show, Iran's attacks on Israel. They were very significant. Like, 130 missiles is a lot. That is a tremendous amount. And it only is a joke because of a mixture of their incompetence, the coalition of U.S., France, U.K., even Jordanian and Saudi assets, and then the Israeli missile defense itself, and God's providence protecting his land, that, you know, it turned out to be, not really much damage and no fatalities. But this is a big deal. And this is where false dichotomies come in. And to me, the most important thing on the right is, right now, if you want to give an analogy to the U.S. government in Israel, the Biden administration is akin to someone going into a hospital, a patient hospital-ridden, on bed rest, and stabbing the person with a knife. And then people on the outside debate, well, should we go and give that patient care, or is it none of our business? Well, how about you get the freak off of them, stop stabbing them? So this is what it's like. Like, on the one hand, everyone wants to stand, and as you should, stand with right against evil. And we're not, we're not into refereeing civil wars and getting involved, but you certainly stand with allies diplomatically, strategically, without just spending a ton of money. Islamo-Nazi is a shared enemy. But the point here is the Biden administration is, they're orchestrating this. The Jerusalem Post is reporting that Iran informed Turkey in advance of its planned operation against Israel. A Turkish diplomat told Reuters that the U.S. conveyed to Iran via Ankara, Turkey, that its operation must be within certain limits. The Biden administration, in other words, approved Iran's missile strike against Israel and then came in to help Israel. So this is, it's like a classic abusive relationship. They not just enable, but literally told Iran to attack Israel, only go so far, come in, appear to kind of help them with the attack, so then that they can turn around and say, you better not do any more. And doing more is not just counter-attacking Iran itself, but finishing the operation in Gaza would be viewed as such. So what the Biden administration is doing there is they're playing this game where basically we've never had this in history where a U.S. administration is allied with Iran and its proxies, like biggest ally. They are on top of all their operations. I have no doubt there are elements of our government that had foresight of the October 7th attacks. And I think this weekend made that pretty clear. And they tell them, and what they're trying to do is make it that it keeps needling Israel, but not enough that they have like the full ability diplomatically to go after them. It's the same thing they're doing with Hezbollah. On paper, it looks like it's low-scaled attacks, but it's full war. You have 100,000 people in a tiny country in their north evacuated indefinitely because of what Hezbollah is doing. Another four IDF soldiers injured in the Northern Theater today. I mean, it's fully going on. So we're going to have this debate. Johnson's now going to use this, we need a foreign aid supplemental package. Throw in basically what he's going to do is to give Israel something like $12-14 billion and throw in, just a couple of pennies more. No, actually $60 billion or something more for Ukraine. A, it's counterproductive because Ukraine is depleting the weapons cache we have for Israel. So to use Israel as an impetus to fund Ukraine is ass backwards. And then number two is, again, it's not about this. It's not about the money. I mean, you could argue maybe, and not American taxpayers don't owe any foreign country anything, but our government does owe it to Israel because we got them in that. We attacked them, and now they're screwed. And then, like I've said, for many decades, Israel is dependent on America because of the treaties we have with them that they're not allowed to develop their own weapon systems for a lot of different fighter planes and certain artillery and other weapons. So they're kind of stuck now. Like, what do you want from them? But the point is, it's not like we believe that they should be a welfare queen. The biggest lesson is that Israel needs to be charted on a course of independence, where they're independent from, unfortunately, our terrible government. And they could develop what they want. They're on their own and aren't subject to American pressure. That's what's good for everyone, really, at this point. But the thing is, Johnson's going to push aid, and then he's going to have a flurry of votes or something like 17 bills, just these vacuous resolutions on Israel. We don't need vacuous resolutions, and it's not even that they need money. What they needed was that on the budget bill, funding DOD, funding the State Department, that we would defund the two-state solution diplomatic missions, we would defund the PLO, we would defund the Lebanese Armed Forces, we would defund the Iran deal, we would prohibit the alliance with Qatar, the special status that was conveyed on them by Biden. That is what we needed. Again, the must-pass bills. If you think Israel is such a winning issue and an important issue, stop using Israel as a distraction to screw us and then not even do anything for them or for us. The true pro-Israel American first position is to chart them on a course of independence, give them diplomatic cover, which is really the important thing, and simply use the GOP control of the House and the budget, which they gave up, or the NDAA would have been another one, to prohibit Biden's policies. Because what's the point on... It's literally like, again, let's say you have the guy stabbing a patient and then you give him some bandages while he's doing the stabbing. Well, what would you rather have? Someone who's like, look, I you take care of yourself. I'm not going to give you a knife or bandages. Or someone who's like, I'm going to give you a knife and bandages. The Israel aid is worthless, even if we weren't bankrupt ourselves, if you're not going to use the leverage of must-pass appropriation and authorization bills to block Biden's alliance with Iran. And I just finally, again, want to come full circle to FISA after reading that Jerusalem Post report. What a joke. All these Republicans and Trump gave cover to Johnson. Oh, we have to reauthorize this because they're going to do good work on surveillance against Islamic terror. Dude, our government, they are Islamic terrorists, literally. Your government that you're paying taxes to on this tax day just whispered in Iran's ear, go attack Israel. Those who bless her will be blessed. Those who curse her will be cursed. Think about that in the context we're living in. Pretty scary. Anyway, that's a lot for one day. As always, we didn't get to everything we want. I'll cover this a little bit more tomorrow with Lee Smith. Let me know your questions on this issue and others. Daniel Hurwitz at startmail.com is the email. At RM Conservative is the Twitter. I got new columns up at The Blaze. Subscriptions are always appreciated. That way we could keep the lights on. And if you can give us a 5-star rating on iTunes as well and support our sponsors, Patriot Mobile and Jay's Case, as always, till tomorrow. God bless y'all, and thank you for listening. We'll be right back.